the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dearest faithful, as we have said many times, as we fall deeper and deeper in love with Holy Scripture, we will understand all of the nuances of how different aspects of Scripture are given to us. And one of the ways that exclamation points are made visible to us in Holy Scripture isn't by the symbol itself. You'll never see an exclamation point in Holy Scripture, but what you will see is repetition. You will see such things as amen, amen, and different areas where things are repeated. That is Holy Scripture exclamation point. And we have an exclamation point before us today in the gospel. This gospel of Matthew, the raising of the little girl, and of course the woman with the hemorrhage, doesn't just appear in Matthew 9. It is repeated in all of the synoptic gospels. So the story is in Matthew 9, Mark 5, and Luke 8. Now, to repeat it three times must mean that there's something there that's more for our heart and our edification than just hearing a story about a miracle performed by our Lord. And sure enough, there will be much more for us to glean from this. Remember that even the juxtaposition of the two healings appears in the exact same fashion in all three of the synoptic gospels. It is important that we understand that nothing about this story is random. We look at the characters. First of all, we look in Matthew, it talks about a ruler. But you know, if you look at Mark and Luke, that ruler is given a name. His name is Jairus, and he's a synagogue official. And, of course, then we have a common woman, again, unnamed, anonymous common woman. But we glean and we know from all three of the Gospels that she is an outcast. She's shunned. She would be, by Jewish law, unclean. Her continuous hemorrhage would have separated herself from society. She would have wanted to be as anonymous as possible, as low to the ground as possible, so that no one would pay any attention to her in her pitiful state. We look at the status then in society of the main characters of this story. First is a man, Jairus, the ruler, whichever gospel you read, it is a man of high rank. An honored official, and he is very Jewish, a man of high rank. The other is a woman of considerably lower rank. We don't know where she came from. We don't even have her name, but we know that she is doing everything possible to be as low and anonymous as possible, but she is clearly an untouchable. And the question becomes, who are these people? And why did our Lord want to put them in the exact same place at the exact same time in order that we would see the crossing of their paths? What meaning for this? This particular literary term is called interpolation. It is the insertion of an existing story, of a separate story within an existing story. And as we see, it's usually not done randomly. It's not because there was no place else to put the story. It's there for a purpose, for a reason. And so then you say, because now our interest has been piqued, we say, to what end then? Why was this interpolation? Why was the story of the woman with the hemorrhage inserted in the midst of this desperate ask on the part of the ruler to come and to care for his dying daughter, his daughter who may already be dead? Therefore, we have to say, well, is it just the story of individuals, or do the individuals represent something greater, what we would call a type? And sure enough, they would represent a type. And we know that we can come up with our own opinions, but as lovers of Scripture that we are, we know that we look to those who have led us and given us interpretation in the past. We could go to no better source than the great Benedictine monk, Dom Prosper Geronger from the 19th century. And he wants us to understand, and he says, there's more to this ruler, to this Jairus, than meets your eye, because he is not just a concerned father coming, asking for the aid for his daughter. He actually is a type. He represents the whole of the Jewish people coming to Jesus. And the woman, who is she? We assume that she's just another unfortunate Jewish woman. She's already as low as she can be in Jewish society. But what if she were even lower? You say, how could she get any lower than where she is? She could have been a Gentile. She could have been worse than a dog as a Gentile, and an untouchable Gentile as that, suffering from a hemorrhage. And so therefore, this woman, as Dom Prosper will go on to tell us, she is a type for all of the Gentiles, reaching out in desperation to the Lord Jesus. And the details are important, because this woman has been suffering for 12 years. Did we just pick that number randomly? Never do we pick random things. 12 is the Jewish number of completion. And so she has had 12 years, and she is completely spent. She has spent her last shekel. She has spent her last bit of energy. She has spent everything. There is nothing more that she can seek from the world to try to heal her. And she is still yet healed, although she has tried every which way in the world to find healing. She is thoroughly spent, and she's going to the last place that she believes possible to look for maybe just a potential for healing. If I but just touch the hem of his garment. She so much wants to be under the radar. She does not want to be seen. And so she's going to creep up behind our Lord, and she's going to touch his garment. But as we see, our Lord turns around, and he takes what this poor soul thought would be an anonymous event and turns it into a public act, not just of healing, but a public act of redemption before the eyes of all there to see it, and especially before the eyes of the ruler of Jairus, who has his own need and his own want, and yet the Lord, for some odd reason, has stopped in the middle of their rushing journey to his home and has sought to heal this anonymous, untouchable woman. All of a sudden now, the power of faith is overshadowing the pseudo-power of status and the pseudo-power of identity. And our Lord, as he always does, flips everything on its head, and now he has healed the lesser before he has ever even come to heal the greater. The lesser came to him hoping for healing, and he gave it fully and freely. Go, daughter, your sins are forgiven. You are healed. Long before he ever answers the need of the supposedly greater ask. The power of faith over the pseudo power of identity and status. Even when they get to the house, the little girl, in the other gospels, she is 12 years old. It is the number of completion. Because if her father represents the Jewish people, she is the progeny, the future progeny. She is the future of the Jewish race. And the future of that Jewish race appears to be dead. Completely dead. No hope. The progeny, the future, dead. Our Lord is mocked when he says, she is not dead. She is ill, she is suffering, but she is not dead. Go away with your false mourning. Go away and let me come to her. She is not dead. The progeny of your race is not dead. The number of completion, a type for the people that appears to be completely dead, and despite mockery, despite doubt, our Lord reaches in with his hand and lifts her. And there are then now two acts, not only of healing, but two acts of redemption. And throughout, it is our Lord's gentle touch. So many times we are so fearful to come to our Lord because we fear that He will treat us handily or harshly. And yet, He will always treat us with the most gentle of touch, if we but come to Him. Whether we come to Him seeking our anonymity because we feel that there's got to be somebody more important than me, somebody with a greater ask than me, and yet I've expended everything of my own, and I have only one hope left, and that is to come to my Lord, even though I still believe that maybe somebody is more in need than I am. Somebody is more important than I am. And yet our Lord, He shows us, no one is more important than another if you come to me and ask. Will we not have the courage to reach out to touch the Christ so that the Christ might touch us and bring just not momentary healing, but to bring the fullness of redemption. The divine hand of God. If we allow the divine hand of God to touch us, then what will happen? You heard it in the epistle, and we leave it in those words. The Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.